God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Is that smoke detector in here, or is it is in here?
It sounds around the corner, but it might be.
Jean, may I ask you to run down and get Carmen and tell him there's smoke alarm that needs something up here?
That's the thermostat.
That's the thermostat, and that looks like it's fine, but someplace we have an irritated bee, so let's find it. Thank you for your patience with our shuffle around of the lessons this morning. When my children and I were having one of our normal dinner conversations this week, we were spending some time reflecting on those occasions in our lives as a family or as individuals where we had done something wrong and had to apologize for it. With four kids, three of them teenagers, there's almost always somebody who needs to apologize to somebody else for something. So it was a very natural conversation to have over dinner. I was sharing with the children how much I appreciate it when people hold me accountable for my own behavior. That sometime, I can't remember, sometime in the last year, I had sent an email to somebody with too sharp of a tone in it, and it really hurt her feelings. And I was so grateful that she took the time to come to me and say, don't do that again. You painted me with a broad brush. You didn't ask what my experience of this situation was. I respect that you are frustrated, but please don't do that again. And it was such a gift to be held accountable and to say, oh my heavens, you're absolutely right. I should have done this, I shouldn't have done that. I'm gonna put a post-it note on my computer that says, don't send emails when you're frustrated. And so, you know, it was one of those emails that I had sent, and as soon as it was gone, I thought, oh, why did I do that? And so to be able to apologize and let go of it was such an extraordinary gift. My 14-year-old Phoebe, I asked her if I could share this story, has one of those consciences that cannot bear to live with guilt. So she's one of those kids who, when she was four, for example, I heard her little brother wailing in pain of some kind. And before I could even go downstairs to see what had happened, she was running inside to say, I pushed Teddy off his bike and made him cry. You know, you're completely unnerved by that kind of honesty, because then, okay, well, time out, and thanks for apologizing, Miss 4-year-old, and let me go attend to your brother. But again, you know, that sense of just getting it out there and being able to deal with it is such a blessing. In two of our lessons today, and again, these are the lessons from Advent Lessons and Carols that we'll have at 10 o'clock this morning. In the first lesson that we have from Genesis, in the time after Adam and Eve have defied the explicit command of God, the will of God, have eaten of the fruit of the tree, they realize that they have done something wrong. They see that they are naked, whatever that might mean. And when they hear God walking through the garden, they hide themselves. Unlike the 4-year-old Phoebe, I think most of our instincts are to hide ourselves when we know that we've done something wrong. Or when somebody comes to us and says, you've done something wrong, I think our instinct is to defend, to lie, to do anything that we can to deflect ownership of whatever it is that's been brought to our attention. We see throughout the Bible there are so many instances of human beings, and I'm sure in all of our lives we can think of times in our own lives when we have hidden, when we know that we've done something wrong, or when we know people in our lives when we've seen the consequences of people taking an action and then hiding from them. In a very different way, when Mary goes to see Elizabeth, we have another occasion to reflect on something hidden that might be very difficult. You know, this story is wrapped in greetings of joy where John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth when and she sees Mary coming towards her and says, "Oh my heavens, this is so amazing." And immediately following this passage, Mary offers the Magnificat, one of the greatest songs of praise to God in all of the scriptures. But if we think about how else that story might have gone, a young teenager, unwed, showing up at an older relative's house pregnant, how would that go down in your life, in your family's life? You know, if Phoebe showed up one day and said, "Oh, Mom, I'm pregnant," I'm pretty positive my response would not be, "Oh, my soul doth magnify the Lord." Yay! So it's incredibly important that we recognize the phrase that the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth right before she responded to Mary. Because something extraordinarily difficult had happened in Mary's life that she was probably still trying to make sense of herself. And I find it such an extraordinary act of courage that even though Mary did not quite fully understand that she was carrying the Messiah, that she was carrying the Son of God, she risked going to see somebody with this hidden, secretive news, to open herself and to share that. There are so many things in our lives that might be shame-worthy, or we might feel we need to keep under wraps. For example, I was at a volleyball dinner recently and sitting next to a family and was completely blown away thinking we were going to have banter about the Patriots and is it ever going to get cold and can you believe it's almost Thanksgiving, you know, that kind of banter. I asked this family, "Do you have any other children other than the one playing on the volleyball team?" And they said yes, and you know, went through the list, and they said, "And we have a 25-year-old son who's a heroin addict." What an extraordinary gift to receive that openness, and then you know, for me to just sit and have an open conversation. What is that like for your family? He's been in recovery for almost a year and a half, 2 years. He's doing incredibly well. But to hear that journey, to hear their willingness to share so openly of their struggles, and the gift that that is to other people, giving them permission to say, whatever, you know, I don't always in those circumstances to share that I'm divorced, but, you know, with that kind of self-disclosure, was more than happy to share openly of my own life circumstances. There's an incredible freedom when we can accept whatever it is that has come into our lives, surrender it to God, be willing to look at whatever it is, and be fearless in sharing that with others. Think of how differently the Genesis story would have unfolded if Adam and Eve did not hide themselves. But the second they heard God walking through the garden, if they had gone straight over and said, "We screwed up. We ate of the fruit that we were not supposed to eat. We recognize that we're naked. Please forgive us." I think in many ways their experience of being cast out of the garden was their experience of their own guilt, of their own shame. I don't know how you, when you've done something wrong, how it eats at you. But I know for me, when I know I've done something wrong and I've not been able to make amends for it, it eats you from the inside out. It is a lived experience of being cast out of the garden, cast out of a state of peace, cast out of a sense of connectivity with the person that you've hurt. Advent as a light penitential season, not quite Lent, but still a light penitential season, offers us this gentle opportunity to look inward and to grow in our courage and our self-awareness in facing those things where we know we may have strayed from God's will. Or if there's something that's come into your life that is difficult for you and you struggle to share it openly, to have the courage to make yourself vulnerable in that sharing. In Father Richard Rohr's beautiful book on 12-step spirituality, he writes extensively about step four in 12-step programs, where you take a fearless moral inventory of yourself. And he says that the purpose of this fearless moral inventory is not to be hyper-scrupulous, thinking that God has this giant ledger book in the sky, and if you don't mention every single thing you've ever done wrong, then you're damned to hell. Richard Rohr says the purpose of this fearless moral inventory is to experience freedom. When you have the courage to say to yourself, or possibly to another person that you've hurt, I withheld this information from you, or I intentionally hurt you in this way, or whatever it might be, I was unkind, I was jealous. We experience an incredible freedom, a release from that sense of being held back by our sin. Our colleague today talks about stirring up the Spirit of God. And I think Advent is exactly that invitation to stir up those places in ourselves that we might be tempted to hide for whatever reason it is, to allow them to come to the light. And there, Richard Rohr tells us, we will experience what he calls dark grace. We all know the graces that come from beautiful sunsets and loving relationships and friendships and joy and all those happy and beautiful moments in our lives. But at least as much of our life is spent in turmoil or conflict or worry or anger or frustration or jealousy or the dark emotions. And when we have the courage to look at those and bring them to God, we need a totally different kind of grace, a dark grace, that blesses us even more richly because it draws us so close to God. When we are willing to be naked before God, to open ourselves vulnerably to our friends and families and seek forgiveness or share difficult things in our life, those moments of dark grace are waiting all around us, if we have the courage to walk towards them and to accept them. Amen.